beyond today. There will be engagements to try and, in fact, not to try, but to sort out the concerns that, or the information sought by IPET. And this will be done in line with the applicable legislation and policies, because I would not want you to go out there and do things purely and solely in the name of the committee outside the law, because then that would also be wrong. We want you to do all that which is necessary to ensure that IPET is able to fulfill its mandate. And I also want to say it is my understanding, and unless if it is I'm the commissioner here. There's no document that goes to anybody without passing here. So what you and IPET are doing, I don't understand. But anyway, here's my point. I understand the frustration of IPET in terms of, and I think as an institution, the SAPS can take all the blame. But I also do want that a distinction should be made in relation to the commitments you made last year. Because cooperation is not only in relation to specific information sought. There's a lot to do with the environment, the cordiality, the openness to engage. We need to build on that and not just throw sand on everything, because beyond these cases, you still have an obligation to work together in terms of future cases that may arise. Now, when we take everything into account, Comrade Vincent is suggesting a 2 weeks period for you to have done all the engagements and sorting this out. I want to check with you in terms of this time frame, so that when we leave here, we at least do know, so that we don't have another 6 months, another 9 months passing without matters having been resolved.
Yeah, thanks, Honorable Chair. I think, firstly, Honorable Chair, let me first acknowledge and appreciate your support that the information that we also avail is governed by other legislations. If we're allowed to observe them, I think we appreciate that support. The 14 days, it's not impossible. We will meet with IPET, and then we will also facilitate that they get information. The other point that I also just wanted to clear, on Secret Service matters, we are officially and formally reporting also to the Joint Standing Committee. And when we deal with other matters, we also consult with them. It's not to say because we don't want to cooperate with IPET. So I think we will do that. The 14 days is fine.
Sure. All right. IPET clarified. Right? You want to have your last point. Yeah.
Past the commissioner, I accept your ruling.
Sure.
So in 14 days' time, I'll hear from you when he's reported. Good morning, sir. How are you, my brother? The board chairperson. You look like a very lovely fellow. Sir, I'm just getting back to you because this concerns me with what you have been saying when my other honorable man has raised questions, and you seem to be saying you are under threat. Are you under threat from Bowman and the COO, or are you under threat from those that have been sacked in your system? Who's harassing you? And what is your understanding of the role of Bowman in your institution? As the board chairperson, I don't want to ask the CEO or the COO. I don't understand the status. I just want to hear from you. What is the role of Bowman in your institution?
Thank you very much, Honorable Boy. The role of Bowman in the institution is to conduct forensic investigation. They started with human capital management, and they moved into the procurement, the SCM space.
So what has been the relations between you? Because it seems as if Bowman, even the FDI, is complaining about them, harassing them endlessly. What is the role there? They seem to be have taken over the role of being policemen in CETA. Do they, are they still there, and what are they doing? Because those that are making the allegation, you have received them in December. I've received them a week ago. What is exactly going on?
Well, there's a different mandate that emanated in January coming out of the sitting of the of SCOPA in terms of the briefing of what they must do with respect to FDA. But when they were doing the investigation at Human Capital and also in the SCM space, there has been threats to the CEO, to the CFO, and to some of my board members from the affected, we believe the affected individual, albeit anonymously so.
We have not received any detail about that relationship between Bowman and CETA. It's the first time that you got those allegations made by ordinary members in your institution. Never has I been made aware, unless somewhere else. Have I missed it, Chairperson, that Bowman is the rogue unit in CETA? I don't remember.
Sorry,
after Chair,
just
that
on a point of order, the complaints that the board is receiving is from people who have been fired by Bowman's.
Honorable,
we're very careful to talk about a company that's doing such good work.
Honorable Member, can I do my questions? I'll ask you at the right time. Don't intervene. I don't intervene when it's you. Give respect to each other.
All right.
Yeah, let's not start. If you want to answer the question, tell me. I'll interrogate you and leave it.
All right. No.
Please don't do that. I don't do it to you. Don't do it to me. I'm asking Chairperson. I'm now asking you as the Chairperson. Have we ever been reported to about this Bowman matter and their own involvement? I haven't received any information. And I took that detail of their role and how many people have they fired and what processes have been followed. I haven't been made aware at all. That's why I'm raising this matter, because as I'm reading the FDA report now, it talks. There's an accusation that Bowman, as a rogue unit there inside CETA, is disruptive. And besides what I've now picked up from the public about this rotating in the social media, that Bowman is a problem inside CETA. Now, I just want to hear from you. Have we ever been briefed in all the engagement with CETA about this Bowman as a rogue unit?
No, we haven't.
Sorry, I'll send information. Even now, it was sent into my emails of what happened. Now, given that procedural Chairperson hasn't been a submission, I would find it very difficult to pursue my line of engagement. Through you, can we get a total rundown of what Bowman's role is in the institution? And how many people have they fired and what is going on, so that we can be on par with you and all members in terms of the information that is flowing?
All right. What are you suggesting, a submission or a response right now?
I would have loved them to do a written thing, Chairperson.
A written submission.
So that
okay.
You can all
yeah,
go
okay.
on par. Now they're going to give me nitty-gritties and members who have never seen the information. I'll be unfair to members.
Okay, all right.
Give them the opportunity. Let's get the information before myself and the Honorable start exchanging about things that you don't know.
All right. Can we maybe give us a sense in writing of the involvement or engagement of Bowman and Kilfillan? I think that's their full name. When were they contracted to do what? What have they done? For how long? For how much? And what has been the outcome of the work that they have done? Just be as detailed as possible so that we have a complete and comprehensive picture. Thank you, Comrade Hlengwa.
Thank you very much, Chair. I have an itch to start somewhere else, but I won't, Chair, because I know you will be out of order. No, I'll be very brief, Chair. This Ernest Stieper, you said, what's his job title? What does he do? If you can start there.
Okay, where does Mr. Stip?
He's is acting senior manager in our Learn and Desktop support function, specifically assigned to SAP's operations.
And he reports to you?
Not directly, but through an HOD and then an executive function that is still empty, which I'm acting on.
If you could take me through.
Wait, so he reports to you?
I mean, everybody reports to me, except for, in that sense.
No. But just repeat your answer.
Okay, he reports to an HOD, acting HOD, directly, and the HOD would report to an executive who has not been appointed, and I'm acting, or I'm fulfilling the role of that executive.
Oh, so it's the HOD who reports to you?
Yes.
In the absence of, okay.
So in this particular case, could you take me through the reporting line? What happened? How did you receive Mr. Stieper's report?
So I was not there. Oh, you mean personally?
Well, you did say you did personal engagement, so I want to know how did it arise.
So it arose after I learned that we had paid, even though I was informed. I looked at my emails. I was informed. An email was sent to me on the 29th of January. And it was probably about 2 weeks ago that I became aware of that.
No. What informed the payment? Maybe let's start there.
Yes. So the payment is informed by a council guidance, that external council guidance, that we have a contract. And as number one. Number two is that the contract allows us to cancel. But perhaps we have to have at least from
a. I'm sorry.
Okay.
Please let's run away from meandos.
Okay.
Let's get straight to the heart of it. What informed this payment? Because when you left here, it was said no payment. Then a payment was done. So okay, did you ever meet with Mr. Stieper?
No, I never did. The payment. What informed the final payment is not just the information that he provided. It is consideration of, and that specific one, consideration of what we felt was the responsibility that had been transferred to us by SAPS, that if we don't pay, then X, Y, and Z will happen that I've mentioned earlier.
Right. So you said that on a follow-up, you found that he'd never done any of the things that he said he had done.
The my understanding is that counsel said, but even though you have to pay, you can pay, you may be obliged to pay by your contract, you still have to go and verify.
Right, that's exactly where I am.
Yes.
So he did not go to verify.
It is my understanding that to the extent that was guided by counsel,
no,
meaning
no,
that
let,
he...
Let's cut it
so the answer is yes.
Let's not go to understandings. Okay. Let's go to what happened. Did he go to verify or he did not go to verify?
He did not verify.
So he did not go to verify, and a payment was made. What action are you taking against
him? I'm still to do an investigation on that, similar to the investigation that I've been doing.
So what are you investigating?
I'm investigating this. Okay.
Sorry. He didn't go.
I'm investigating the circumstances under which he did not follow the council, as I understand council was.
So on a delicate matter, I'm rounding up, Chair. On a delicate matter such as this one, you received correspondence which you surprisingly only read after the payment was done.
Does it
in any way not strike you as odd?
No, the payment was done on the 26th. I was informed on the 29th.
That's right. So when you left here, did you inform anybody that no payments must be made?
The message was very clear, no payment must be made, yes.
But they made a payment.
The payment was made.
After you told them not to?
Yes.
Are you in charge of this institution?
Absolutely, sir.
How did the payment go through then?
The payment went through. I don't control the accounts payable function.
So you made, gave an instruction, but the payment was still done?
The payment was made, yes, but under the circumstances
after
that I
you
mentioned.
Gave an instruction.
Absolutely.
So you gave an instruction. Nobody listened to it. A certain Mr. Stieper decides not to verify, and he influences a payment to be made which overrides your directive. Are you in charge, sir?
No, sir, I, as I said, the payment was not made based on Mr. Stieper's work. The payment was made because specifically, in fact, I'm saying that the specifically on the statement that were given to us and the responsibility that was given to us by General Skipper on the meeting of the 19th. That then, Mr. Stieper then went and did the work. It was to corroborate whether or not the work was done to facilitate the payment. But that was not the decision, a decision point for payment.
All right, I'll come back to that just now. So you left here, and you had a meeting with General Skipper and General Shiz. Your letter of the date on this thing. Oh, right. Well, there's no date. Whatever. What is this now? Okay, in this one. Right. So when you left here, you had a meeting with General Skitter and General Shiz, right?
The meeting that I was at was the 19th, but there was an earlier meeting in December. It was the 18th of December.
After you left here, right?
Yes.
So you left here with the understanding that no payments would be made. You got to that meeting and?
And we were told that if we insist on not paying, that we will be responsible for the collapse of the criminal justice system,
right,
with respect to forensics.
So did you ever come back to the people that gave the instruction that payment should
not
be made?
No, sir, we did not.
I.e. the chairperson of SCOPA?
No, we did not.
So you were placed under pressure and did not defer to the people who had actually made the decision?
No, we did not.
And then a payment was made?
A payment was made.
Right. Are you in charge of this institution, sir?
Yes, I am, sir.
Right. General Skitter, can you please speak to this, child, I'm brief, because
sure.
I just want to clear the words in
sure.
terms of what actually happened. And luckily, General Shiz is seated right next to me, so we can have a heart-to-heart as well. But General Skitter, what's your response to what the CEO is saying in the first instance? And secondly, I would be interested to know, why didn't you inform SCOPA of this dynamic that if a payment was not made, this would be the eventuality?
Thank you, sir. As we indicated, or as was indicated, the CETA SLARs were only concluded around the 12th of December. That's important to know that as background, which presented a cash flow problem for CETA at the time. Even Mr. Skalkiman from the National Treasury phoned us and said, conclude quickly on this and start paying them. Now, in December, since December, a small amount was paid in December, but in January...
I would caution you, General Skitter, to never say a small amount to SCOPA because any amount is a big amount.
It's a big amount, yes, sir. You're quite correct. Yeah. 2.15 million. January, it was 1.019 billion. And February, up till now, 136 million.
Right.
Now,
let's go to the meeting. That's what I'm interested
but
I want to know,
yeah?
When you left here, we had explicitly given an instruction. Honorable Smith led us that and we cleared the woods quite well. In the meeting that you had with the gentleman next to you, did you apply pressure which resulted in payments being made?
Can I say to you or respond to you as follows? Firstly, there was no threat. The point I wanted to make is before the 19th, they already received...
That's not a point of order, sir.
Sorry.
I know I've been teaching you for years, sir. Can I re-educate you again? These are honorable members. You don't have you at this level. It's not in your department. You can do it easily there. He's an honorable member.
Thank you,
can
sir.
Can you give him the respect that has been accorded by the Constitution?
Thank you, honorable member. Sir, honorable member, the point I want to make is there were payments made before the 19th of hundreds of millions. The invoice that we talk about, the 10.8 million, was already presented to SAPS on the 9th of January 10 days before the meeting. Why would you invoice? But let's leave that. So, honorable member, I'm coming back to you now to your precise ask.
I'd really appreciate that.
Yes, a meeting took place on the 19th. Yes, sir. One of the big issues were the future approach regarding this kind of scenario where you have a supplier and a lock-in on maintenance and services. I think Dr. Marby will agree. I indicated concerns regarding legalities. What do we do for value already received and so forth?
Were you present at the meeting when this instruction was given by SCOPA?
Yes.
Did you raise those concerns then?
No, sir, we didn't raise it, but
so
SCOPA said
you
go.
You chose not to raise them to the people that gave the instruction,
no,
but then raised them elsewhere. Did you ever come back to SCOPA with those concerns?
And then also, can I just finish it, and maybe that will answer your...
I'm saying that the crux of the matter is that you were here when the instruction was given. You didn't raise the concerns and you raised them outside. Did you, I've asked the MCO, did you communicate with the chairperson, the general national commission, and say, look, maybe go back to SCOPA and say there's legalities around these things, because from where we were seated, you should have acted on the instructions.
This was part of the dissection, sir. We haven't made any payments in SAPS. But it was part of the consideration, because also as the chairperson, the honorable chairperson, indicated in his last letter of a week ago, have you considered it? Yes, we have, and yes, we haven't made any payments, sir. But at the meeting, we discussed it, and concerns were raised, and risks were indicated, and then we decided. They indicated they're going to see senior counsel, and we also then said that we are going to see our senior counsel, sir. I never instructed. This is a separate accounting officer. How can I say to him, you must pay? And in terms of not payment, I think here is the payment schedule I will
all
also
right,
leave, sir.
So you've got the CFO, the CEO categorically saying that they were under pressure, and you sitting there and you say didn't apply any pressure. I'd put it to you, sir, that you are in no position to know whether pressure was not applied or not applied, because you are not the one feeling it. But the person who Mutu has exerted to, whether it was through tone or through narrative or through other scary mongering tactics that may have been advanced, they would have felt the pressure. Do you think that is a healthy and working environment for the CEO and the CFO to find themselves feeling under pressure and threatened it because of an interaction that they're having with you?
I never saw it as a threat.
You
not as a threat, and but you've just said to me, honorable member, that one cannot... it's in the eye of the beholder, so to speak. The point I want to make is...
And that's the exact point that I'm making. That because of interacting with you, the CEO and the CFO feel that they were under pressure.
But why did SAPS then not make any payment? I also had the same kind of interaction with the CFO.
I want to deal with how you were engaging with them, and I think I quite frankly feel that pressure myself. Chair, finally, here's what I want to raise. Was just one final point.
Are you feeling under pressure?
No.
Okay.
Chair. But what I'm trying to narrate is that it could have been them, and it's quite evident in this interaction. It's quite a forceful one. And I personally see why the CEO and the CFO felt under pressure. I see it. I don't feel it. CEO, did you report this to the board?
I don't recall. My CFO, yes, just reminds me that it was reported to the board on the 30th. There was a board meeting on the 30th of January.
Right. So you reported this. What action did the board take? Because I would imagine that in between then and now, some sort of action must have been taken. Maybe the board can assist. How are you going to assist your CFO and your CEO from this explicit pressure? Because it's there. All of us have seen it.
If there's no response, you can say something.
Okay.
You don't have one.
Yeah, we don't have an immediate response to that question, honorable member.
So today is the 28th of February. Your CEO, CFO reported 30th of January that they are under pressure from SEBS, and you've got no response 29 days later. On a serious matter such as this one, you're ending a contract 31 of March and you've got no response.
No.
How does that assist the CEO and the CFO?
Well, except the undertaking that the executive gave to us that they're looking at the legalities as to how we can extricate ourselves out of the current contract.
So you
think
that go right back at the victims? Problem much?
Not quite, Honorable Sengwane, without having a dialogue, is that I also was receiving correspondence also from FDA, which was directed directly at myself, also, continue with the same thread.
No, I understand that. You did narrate that. What I'm saying is that your functionaries said to you that they're under pressure. I don't take this pressure very lightly because it speaks to the heart of the functionality of what you're talking about. So I'm not in any way discounting whatever threats you may be receiving. You can escalate them to who you need to escalate them to. But before us is that 29 days ago, your functionaries reported that they were under pressure. They were being threatened directly or indirectly by commission or by omission. The bottom line is that the pressure and the threat was there. My question is, what is the board doing to assist them?
We were supposed to be having a meeting yesterday to discuss this because we have a scheduled board meeting. One of the issues that we're going to discuss is this, whether we escalate it to the executive authority as to how best we can deal with the quagmire that we find ourselves in.
Chair, thank you much. I think finally what I want to say is, I liked what the President of the Republic said. I'm fully supporting on this record the issue of lifestyle audits. I put it to you, Chair, that at some point we may need to present a list of persons whom need to undergo this lifestyle audit, particularly seated here, because we'll be the first ones to go as a demonstration of the fact that it's a necessary process. I can be the first one to volunteer, Chair, but on a serious note, I strongly believe, Chairperson,
right,
that at the heart of this is the fact that FDA has got players right in the heart of SAPS. Thanks, Chair.
All right. Comrade Chilwane, and then Comrade Vincent, and then Ross, and then we'll come back to you. Yeah. Comrade Chilwane.
Thank you, Chairperson. Commissioner, I'm going to make some follow-ups in terms of the response that you provided to us as a committee. I'm going to go to the better word, if you can say, last minute spending. The money that was paid to service providers on the last day of the financial year. I just want to first find out, Commissioner, if after our last engagement, if there are any disciplinary measures that you have taken against any official, especially in the office of the CFO, in regard with the last-minute spending. Maybe, Chairperson, if I can get a response from the Commissioner.
Yeah, thanks, Honorable Chair, and thanks, Honorable Member. From here, I have instructed Internal Audit to do an investigation on the matter. The intention is to take the necessary action and which will amount to internal investigations or disciplinary inquiries. But the internal audit will be coming to present the report to me.
Approximately, what is the time frame that you have given them?
I think their deadline, they finish in actual fact the investigation. There's other aspects that they've looked into. They submitted a preliminary report. I think their deadline is within the next 2 weeks. It was mid-March.
Thank you for that response. Chairperson, I just wanted to highlight something in that regard. When you look at the response at, I think it's slide 25, the one that you provided to the committee, for record purposes, Chairperson, I hear your response, Commissioner. It is quite interesting to note that, you know, maybe before I'll say so, with your permission, Chairperson, I would also suggest that when that report, when you have that report in your table, you can also forward it to the committee so that we're able to have a look on it, of that the report of that you have commissioned the audit committee. I'm saying this, Chairperson, because when you look at slide 25 or page 25, the last item, you look at the financial authority date is the 2016-02-11, order date 2016-03-31, invoice date 2016-03-31, payment date 2016-03-31. The amount is 52 million. So you can see that something is really abnormal in that office, commissioner. But we'll await for the report that you'll forward it to the chairperson as time goes on. And I think it will be as soon as possible so that we're able to conclude whatever that we want to conclude. You also promise us that all the supply chain management officials will be vetted. And by the time you come here today, we'll have a report. What is the progress thereof? When you met last year, you promised us that.
Thanks, Honorable Chair. Yeah, from here, I instructed both crime intelligence and supply chain. I can ask with your permission, General Makwena, just give the progress report. And General Ngobo is also in the house from CI.
Thank you, Honorable Chair and Honorable Members. From the supply chain management, we submitted all the names of the officials that needs to be vetted. So I think there is progress in this regard. Maybe I will request crime intelligence to respond. But the names of all supply chain practitioners that needs to be vetted has been submitted.
And since submission, you have not received any feedback?
No, not yet, General. I mean, Chairperson.
You have not requested any feedback. Okay. Who from crime intelligence? Say this, General Ngobo.
Yeah. Thank you, Chairperson and honorable members. Yes, SCM, supply chain management, supply chain people are a priority on vetting processes. They are on top because we were instructed to prioritize them. So to give the detailed numbers here, I won't be able to do that, but I'm signing the certificate of vetted people from all over, including supply chain people. Almost every week there are certificates, security clearance certificate that comes on my desk, and I normally sign. I check, there are numbers of people from supply chain.
Yeah.
I cannot be specific, Honorable Chair.
And if you're not specific, you're not helping us. What's the value of your response if it's not specific? Because the question is, what is the progress since our last meeting? And if you can't give us specifics, then we don't have anything.
Yeah, thanks, Honorable Chair. Can I ask your permission? We give a full report within the next 24 hours. We give a full report, progress report to the committee. And if the committee wants the numbers now, General Ngobo will have to leave and get the numbers. But we, because the Honorable Member is asking for a progress report, we can put the report together and give it to us.
Chairperson.
Point of order, yeah.
General, didn't you prepare when you come to this meeting? You thought that they are coming to a holiday resort, or what is wrong with you today? We thought that the chairperson has written to you earlier to invite you to a meeting. I'm not getting answers. Now the honorable members are asking direct questions. You're not giving answers. You keep on asking for postponements. What is wrong with you now, General? Are you on a holiday resort or what?
Chair, thank you. I think from this report that I have, which we did not submit officially, the senior officers on this progress report that I have, General R.J. Mugwena, the clearance dated 2017-02-07 was finalized and signed off. Major General Pillay, 2014-10-07.
Yeah, no. I think that list we have in your submission.
Yes.
The question was we met in November. So since November 2017 to date, has there been any progress? And I think that is the detailed information that we do not have. And that is what is the problem. You're giving it to that officer there. She asked you, you referred to that officer, he refers us to that officer, and at the end, we don't have anything.
Can I also come in on the same issue? I think what we need, if we are saying SCM, that is a practitioner's, we need the total number of SCM practitioners that we have so that we can be in a position to check in terms of the progress. If we have, as an example, 100 SCM that is practitioners, because the question is, what is the progress? Then we'd be in a position to say we are maybe at 50% or at 70%, and we have the details that is of those people.
All right. Yeah, no. Fine, the poll was dropped there. You submitted the names, and then what? You know. But anyway, Comrade Chulwa.
General, yeah, I know Mugwena. Are you referred to as General Oma?
Yes, General.
General Mugwena. How many supply chain management practitioner have you? Names have you submitted for vetting?
Thank you, Honorable Chair and Honorable Member. The list could be just above 300.
Could be. Just above.
And
but top, are you referring to top management or supply chain practitioners in general, Honorable Member?
Chairperson, through you, when we met with FAPS last year, we were promised that when the issue of vetting was raised, we were promised that officials, specifically those who are doing supply chain related duties, will be submitted for vetting as soon as possible. And by the time you return here, we have another engagement, you'll be able to give us a report. So the question was that, what is the progress? So that you'll be able to tell us you've submitted 300 or two of them, and then 8 of them are cleared, 200 of them, they are not cleared. I think that's what we wanted to get. So now you say it's more than plus minus 300. When did you submit them?
Thank you, Honorable Chair. Honorable Member, we submitted the list to Crime Intelligence. I think it was first week of December. But what I want to make clear, Honorable Member, we give priority to the BAC members, which is the bid adjudication.
No, that's fine. I mean, you give priority to them, but you don't know how many. It does not assist us, you see, because what we want is a number. See, the other story I hear, Officer Ngobo there, he's mixing a whole range of things and categories because he doesn't have the information. So I would imagine you supply names. When they are cleared, I would imagine that information must come back to you. That
yes.
These three are now cleared, these five are now cleared.
Yes.
And that is what we're looking for, and that's what you don't have.
I have. Can I first maybe explain? Initially, the practice is that we first deal with the bid adjudication committee members, which
are... No. Let's not go there. Because what we want from you is a number, not an explanation. And a number is what you don't have, because it's only through a number that we can measure progress.
From the bid adjudication committee, only one member is outstanding, who was recently appointed after one member has been transferred to another province. So all members, for example, at the bid adjudication committee, which deal with highly sensitive information, only one has been is still outstanding, but there is progress in that
all
regard.
Right. No, you see, that's where you should have started.
Okay, no,
then
thanks.
That gives us a sense.
All right.
Okay, Comrade Chulon.
Okay. Thank you, Chairperson. I'm sure the gist of the matter, why we emphasize on this vetting issue, is that you can see that the financial management of the department, it's really leaves much to be desired, because people can't seemingly don't know when to comply. They only know to when to comply on the 31st of the financial year. So probably that is the reason, but in any way we don't have to. Chairperson, I don't know how are we going really to then to measure the progress with one member. I think what I heard from General Mukwene is that I think only one remaining. I don't know whether they've sent 10 names or what have you, but maybe it's a matter that we'll discuss. I don't know, but I'm kind of not satisfied with the answer. But I don't know, Chairperson. Maybe you can guide me.
Yeah, I think National Commissioner, these are some of these outstanding details that we need, so that there's clear categorization. We have so many SCM practitioners at this level and that level. So many have been vetted. So many are outstanding. That is the level and the kind of detail that we need. Yes, complete. Continue.
When we were discussing the issue of the FTA, when Honorable Tim was discussing last year, there was an issue that you raised that there's going to be an investigation which will be completed by December the 17th. Any progress report on that one?
The investigation was relating to the number of other contracts, which subs was directly relating to with FDA, and it's part and parcel of the investigation that was conducted by internal audit. They have surfaced additional three over and above what is linked to CETA. They've surfaced other three contracts, which we have entered into, that is ourselves. And from that preliminary report, I then issued instructions that we dispose of all the contracts. Hence, the instructions that were also given to the CFO, that SAP suspends all payments until we dispose of this matter. And I've tasked legal services also from that report to deal with all those particular contracts and payment. I further instructed General Skete and the CFO that we get a Section 34 report on all matters that are not clear from the first report. Thank you.
Commissioner Dean, you've referred the matter to General Skete and the CFO. Is General Skete not the CFO?
Honorable Chair, the CFO is General Ramaphosa, according to the Public Finance Management Act that is within SAPS. General Skete is a Deputy National Commissioner for Physical Resources. Thank you.
Thank you for that clarification. Did you institute any investigation measures around the office of the CFO after the meeting that we had last year with the committee?
Thank you, Honorable Chair, Honorable Member. I think from the committee, the first question was around the CFO himself and his role that the committee wanted me to look into. And then from here, I first called the CFO and I started with a review of his functions and as well as his realignment. And the part and parcel of the investigations that relates to the CFO was then covered within the internal audit report. Because I then said, let us continue and look at what roles was the CFO supposed to play and in terms of his own mandate. But I also then clarified and purified then his mandate. And then further matters that surround the CFO and decisions that the CFO makes will be covered in the other internal audit report that I will receive. Thank you.
Thank you. Then it means that, Chairperson, I'm rounding up. It means that the report or part of the information that we need will get from the commissioner. It's going to be inclusive of anything, not specifically. Inclusive of anything that has got to do with the financial management in SAPS. My very last question, Chairperson, is the, I think it will go to CETA. Yeah. I think there were about four companies that you said were blacklisted. But when I check the records, yeah, I can't find the names. And we also ask if the project in relation with the FDA is it part of those companies that are being blacklisted. Can we get the names of those blacklisted companies? Thank you, Chief. Yes.
Oh, thank you. So sorry. I will send I don't have the names with me. We'll send them, and with a confirmation, I mean, if they have not been on the National Treasury list, we will then follow up on that, because I know I signed the letters last year to Treasury requesting for them to be blacklisted, but we'll confirm. And we will treat FDA in exactly the same way that we treated the other companies. If they, in particular, there is, we do find the criminal activity as we're investigating it now, we will process it in exactly the same way. Currently, they are not part of the list that we have, the existing list.
Chairperson, it's good for department to say that they will send information like we agree. But But you know, it's a disadvantage for whoever is following the proceedings, because when they send them, it's for our own consumption at the committee level. So I feel it's sometimes it's unfair to say that people don't have information, then they will send it. I'm just raising a concern. Thank you.
All right, Comrade Vincent.
Thank you very much, Chair. I just want to go back to two issues raised by Bratim earlier on. But maybe I should contextualize it to both the board of CETA and to the National Commissioner by referring them to the PFMA, because that's the Bible that I think you should be using and that's the Bible that we use. Section 38 of the PFMA says, Chair, and I'm reading, the accounting officer for a department, trading entity, or constitutional institution must ensure that that department, trading entity, or constitutional institution has and maintains effective, efficient, and transparent systems of financial and risk management and internal control. Now, Honorable Tim and all of us were aghast just now when you intimated that if DFA pulls the plug, criminal justice system comes to naught. And nobody disputed that that is in fact the reality. So I'm putting it to you, to Mr. Nombete, and to you, Commissioner, that both of you have failed in terms of Section 38 of the Public Finance Management Act in identifying the risk. Now, I know that it's done before your time, but we deal with the here and now. You didn't assess that risk, and therefore you are in conflict with the PFMA. So that's the context in which I'm going to have my two or three questions, Chair. And then we'll have to decide that since they're in conflict with the PFMA, what happens. But CETA, you know, and both of you maybe, you know, a few days ago, the Minister of Finance presented his budget. Many South Africans are not happy. And we are the representatives of South Africans. So when you talk to us, just try and understand that you're talking to those South Africans. We have SAPS, who has a requirement. SAPS goes to CETA, which is supposed to be an institution of the state. You don't do anything other than being a middleman, and you take it to DFA. What is your role? What is your role as CETA? Because you do nothing other than just be the middleman. And you add to the consultancy. Because we were talking here about almost 1 billion rand, Chair, just in the past 3 months. So we have government sends it to an institution that we set up specifically to assist us in this regard. And all they do is they take it to a implementing agent. And let me give you what's the shock of this thing. This implementing agent is an ex-policeman. Is there nothing wrong, Mr. Nombete, with that? When you say that to South Africans, do you think that South Africans are not going to see anything wrong? You take it and you give it to somebody who was one of you yesterday. And do you think that there's nothing wrong with that? How do I go back to my constituency, Mr. Nombete? That's what I'm saying to you. I and the committee must take a decision. How do we deal with you guys when you left here? It's unforgivable. It's unforgivable, and that is why you couldn't answer the question earlier, Commissioner, when Mr. Bratim asked, who funded the guys that went to Manchester? And you guys said Unisys or something like that. Who's Unisys? They're a service provider of this institution, and you see nothing wrong with it. Absolutely nothing wrong with it. He's a service provider. He sends our guys out to a soccer match. It's all over the public media. And we say, well, he's got permission from us, according to the legislation. He had permission to go and do something else. But this was organized or arranged, in somebody's words, by Unisys, who is a current service provider. CTEC gets given a task. CTEC gives it to an implementing agent. Who's that implementing agent? It's an ex-policeman. What is your comment, Mr. Numbet?
Thank you very much, Honorable Smith, through you, Chair. I can say as early as 2013, when I joined the Board of CETA and I was Chairman of the Board Procurement Committee, we kicked this contract to touch and sent it back and refused because of the single sole supplier. And my own desk research told me that there were many other companies other than the Australian company that can provide the services. It disappeared for 12 months and it came back, and we were told then by SAPS that it's going to be very difficult to change. It means we're going to train people all over, you know, the same thrust that have been given at this current juncture to the CEO, that if we were to try and change this contract, the number of people we have to train and everything else, and I felt that we were locked in. And as a result, I lost my position as the chairman of the Board Procurement Committee to show the powers that are there within the system, as it were. So we are now looking at how best we can try and nullify and terminate the contract as practically as it possible without necessarily affecting service delivery in terms of the subs. And I think the CEO has jotted a piece of paper to correspond directly to the police to inform them that this is in essence with what we want to do. In fact, my colleagues will attest that when it came back again in 2014, I said, oh, here we go again. Well, because we send them to National Treasury, which says you need to get deviation from National Treasury to give you permission for you to be able to continue using the single source supplier. And this we inherited. It's been there since, I think, 2000. I keep on seeing 2009, 2000 for the past 17 years.
Thanks. Commissioner, you'll answer the same question that I asked. But let me just repeat what I said last time. And I was hoping Mr. Keating is here. I said to both of you, stop paying these people. I said it to you. So what happens, Chair? Parliament advises government to stop paying. Government then goes and gets advice from a lawyer, and I'm not for 1 minute suggesting that these are not honorable people. A lawyer says you better pay, gentlemen, otherwise. And government capitulates. You just capitulate. Parliament says don't. Lawyer outside says do it. And you capitulate and you give in because the lawyer said so. And not only that, I understand what you're saying. I'm raising that as a serious concern I have. Commissioner, is it true that you guys said if these people don't pay, they must carry the can? So in other words, did you physically put them on? And I'm raising this question because you might say you do not physical threats. But you know when you say to somebody, if you don't pay, let it be on your conscience if South Africa dies. Or let it be on your conscience if the criminal justice system, it's intimidation. Did you, as SAPS, say to CETA, you better pay this amount of money because if you don't, FDA won't maintain, criminal justice system will be no more? That's the first question, because that's what the finance person said behind there. She said, I felt threatened because this is the sentiment that came out, or maybe the reality. Did you say that, Commissioner? Not you, but I'm saying your institution. Did you send that message to them, that they better pay?
Thanks, Honorable Chair, and thanks, Honorable Member. The The first thing that was unfortunate was that there was no interaction between accounting officer and accounting officer. The first time I learned about the pressure was in a meeting on Monday, where because I convened a meeting with Zita, and Zita came with their team in the meeting. That's when I got it directly from Zita, and it was for the first time. There was no communication between myself and the CEO. And after the third meeting, unfortunately, again, there was no communication between myself and the CEO. The CEO did not bring it to my attention. But let me go direct response. I, as an accounting officer, did not issue any instruction that we should tell CETA to pay. Two, I gave an instruction to the CEO, the CFO, that let us suspend payment with regard to these matters until we dispose of the contracts. The CFO came to me and confirmed compliance. In the meeting which we had on Monday, I think General Skete also denied any such statement made to CETA. Thank you.
Thanks. Through you, Chair, if you would allow me. CFO, don't mislead Parliament. Please don't mislead Parliament. What gave you the impression that you were being intimidated, blackmailed, put under pressure, whatever you want to put it, so much that you went and you made the payment? What brought that about?
Thank you. So there were two meetings that were held in, or where I was present. First, it was in December 2017. We initiated the meeting because we wanted the response. We wanted the response to Parliament. We needed to obviously provide information to Parliament in terms of the response based on the last meeting. So I went into a meeting with the executive for risk. We met with General Shezi. I think also the other person was there was Mavundla. I don't know if she's general. Yeah, I think it's General Mavundla. In that meeting, we discussed the specifics in terms of the rough equipment, the contract, and all other information. One question that we then posed to the meeting was, when it comes to this equipment, firstly, we mentioned the fact that we have sent a letter dated the 12th of December to the commissioner where we are asking, based on the consultation with our council, we needed to establish how critical are these equipments in the whole system. And the answer there was also that those things are critical. We didn't make payment after that meeting, and it was mainly based on the fact that we needed to then wait for the response, because everybody was there in the meeting said they didn't get the letter. I sent the letter directly to the commissioner the time when I was the acting CEO. We then said, okay, let's go back. Let's wait for the letter let's wait for a response from SEPS in terms of the criticality, and how do we move forward in terms of this? Because our council was telling us that we needed to get something in writing from SEPS which says council or not council. The whole of January, my concentration was getting the cash flow of the company in line, because we're faced with the huge risk of not getting a payment. Also, in that meeting in December, General Skeeter was supposed to be part of the meeting, but he came quite late when we were leaving. And then I had a discussion with him to say, we haven't received the payments, the 1 billion that the CEO spoke about. And therefore, you are putting us in quite a difficult situation as a company for us to run our affairs. He then said, no, I will, the payment will be made. The slide has been signed, the payment will be made, and all those things. He did get a call from SCARC, from National Treasury. He's looking at the matter and all those things. Then in January, when we had our ex-co, we did then have an issue to say they are still not paying us. How do we then deal with this matter? We said we're going to organize a meeting. The meeting was organized. It was the meeting of the 19th of January. I was part of the meeting, and it was categorically said that if the services are stopped, and because we did, in that meeting, there was, I think it was Brigadier Johan.
Sorry, sis.
Yeah.
It was categorically said.
Yeah.
Uba, who said that?
By General Skeeter, that if we do not make the payment and the services are stopped, it will affect the criminal justice system. And specifically, there were two cases that were cited there, the case of River Steenkamp and also the case of the one here in Cape Town, Divani. And to me, I took it as I'm going to bring the forensic system of the country into a halt if I don't make the payment.
No, thank you very much. Thank you very much. I just wanted to understand that. General Skeeter, and I don't know if you transcribe or you have minutes. I'm talking to everybody. But General Skeeter, what's your response to that young lady's comment?
More or less, as I've said, sir, we indicated there are certain risks. Well, the point I wanted to make, there was no instruction per se, but there were two risks. And the one was basically also a forensic risk, as conveyed to me by forensic environment. In the sense, so you have to discount the risk in order to see is there a plan. That is why at the 19th meeting it seemed like an option out when it was said by Dr. Mohapi that maybe this kind of thing, even if it's a so-called supplier, he can explain it in technical detail, you will have more than one person that delivers subsequent services and maintenance, even in future. But it was indicated in the sense that it is a risk, what if this kind of thing should happen? But there was no pertinent instruction, I must make that point emphatically clear, to say, don't do this. As I said, sir, we already received the invoice on the 9th of January. We've already made payments in this regard. In fact, there's another invoice received the 5th of February from CETA to us. So all I'm saying is, from our side, we indicated the risk, but there was no, and there was, I cannot for one moment, and I've got a number of colleagues here as well who attended that meeting, for one moment that we said we're not going to pay you in this regard. The non-payment element actually is a different cause and effect relationship. So, yes, to a large extent I agree. But there was no direct, if you don't do this, you must do that. It was a risk. It was a concern discussion, which is actually a normal discussion, sir.
So it was a management decision from CETA to make that payment because there was no risk from your side. Is that what you're saying to me?
No, there were risks in our...
I beg your pardon, not no risk. It was a management decision by CETA to pay you, and it's not because there was an explicit threat.
We have not made an explicit, yes, yes, you're correct. So. Because when we went to our senior counsel, my CFO didn't pay, even in view of the risk. Thank you, sir.
Chair, do you see what's happening here? The person that must pay goes to his senior counsel, and his senior counsel says, Suga, don't worry too much about it, and they take that advice. These people that must pay go to their senior counsel says, you better pay, otherwise you're in trouble, and they pay. And this is supposed to be the left hand and the right hand, which you both government. By the way, you're both using taxpayers' money. One senior counsel says this, another senior counsel says that, and what, I nearly used the harsh word, and what frustrates me the most is that you just disregard what this committee says. Total, and you haven't apologized for that yet, by the way. Or maybe you don't think you need to apologize for that. You've just taken what we've said to you like you probably will do today. Take what we say to you when you walk out of here, you say, you know what, we've gone through a 5-hour grilling of SCOPA, life carries on.
Member,
no, I'm not talking to you. It's not life going on, Mr. Nomveti, do you hear me? You can't come to SCOPA and say, well, we've had our 3-hour grilling, we are going home, life carries on. Not here, Commissioner, not here. And not because we have any superpower, but because here we're dealing with the rants and cents of South Africans. That is why I say these things without being apologetic. Because it's not your money, it's not my money, this is South Africans' money. And government can't be seen to willy-nilly do what you are doing. So I thought I must put that, and I'm saying it again. Mr. Nomveti, go and cancel this contract, whatever it takes. It stinks of everything that's wrong. You can't have an implementing agent who was government. I don't know if you have restraint of trade like anybody else will have. I'm saying look at all those type of things. You just can't have a policeman walking out of the service 2 months later go and do something that becomes so critical that if it's not done, the country comes to a standstill. Can't happen. And I'm talking to the board of CETA. It cannot happen. We will ask for you to be removed, ma'am. We'll ask for you to be removed. We just don't have time to play anymore. If it doesn't happen, we're going to ask for you to be removed. Chair, I'm putting it on the table that CETA must come back to you within 14 days to understand if it is doable. Because if you can't get legal counsel, we'll get legal counsel to do it. This thing can't carry on. Within 14 days, they should come back to you and say, we've solicited, it's not doable, these are the reasons, and let us assess it. But my view, Chair, you can't have Keating being an ex-policeman, getting all this kind of money, and saying to the South Africans, if you don't do it, Shirin Tsivani will get out of here. If you don't do it, Oscar is going to get... It's rubbish. Thank you, Chair.
Because I thought all those cases have already been concluded. All right. No, it's fine. Ross, and then Kekane, and then it's you, and then it's Comrade Paul. Then you'll have to come after Bratim. Yes, Ross?
Chairperson, yes, before Mr. the Honourable Smith spoke, you will remember that I indicated that the South African public will equally be concerned with regards to the possible vulnerability of the system within SAPS that can collapse with one person actually can withdraw the authority to use the system. Now, the question that will come to mind in the South African public's mind is, how did we get into this situation? And this is where the risk committees had a huge role to play. And I would like to know from the General and from CETA with regard to the functionality of the risk committees, and I think our committee needs to be informed who the members of those risk committees were and what the decisions was in terms of approving this system that is so vulnerable that can even leave the criminal justice system in tatters if it comes to push. Just finding a bit of balance, Chairperson, I'd just like to say that we need to consider that there might have been some contractual obligations in terms of payment. I think as a committee we can make recommendations. We can't enforce our recommendations, but certainly it needs to be noticed. And I agree with the Honourable Smith's sentiment why we make those recommendations. But it is quite true that you might have had contractual obligations and it was very difficult and perhaps irresponsible to withdraw from that obligation because you could land in serious court cases, which also could be costly. That is the point that I try to make. Then just in terms of the oversight of SCOPA, just to find a little bit of balance with FDA's position on the allegation, it states very clearly that IPAT overstated the amounts. That's their view. And I think we as a financial reporting committee should easily be able to ascertain what was paid and what was not based on financial records and public accounts. But the FDA records, the total value, round value of goods and services purchased and paid to FDA by SAPS directly over a 12-year period is $481 million. That's what they say. They indicate it's only $481 million. And they say this is in stark contrast to the IPAT report, which categorically states SAPS paid to FDA for the period $4.2 billion. And they, of course, then it's an overstatement of $3.7 billion. So I think that also needs to be clarified, that we just have consensus. This was perhaps as a committee we need to establish and rope in the AG on this and just get the correct figures, just to see that we don't run into problems in that regard. And then perhaps my last question would be to General Schutter, who's been, I can clearly see, having a tough time at SCOPA today. But can I ask you, General, that you indicated at some point that you did engage with Skalk Lehman from the procurement office, and I would like to know what his recommendations was in terms of the risk, that you discussed the risk with the procurement officers. And also, when did you speak to him and what was his view in terms of this? Because this is critically important that we engage with National Treasury and also with the AG on these contracts and issues and crises and risks. Thank you. I would like to have your view on that because it is commendable if you did phone him and at least try to find out what was the position of National Treasury. That will also bring more transparency what you've done.
Thank you very much. Let me start with you, General Skete. Maybe you can even deal with the first question around the amounts. But just to say, Ross, if you read that letter of theirs, they say the money paid to them, that was paid to them directly. And they even underline directly, which is an escape window, that indirectly there might have been some other amounts that then take us back to that figure. yeah.
Thank you, sir. I have the latest printout here, what we paid FDA since inception, the company FDA Pty Ltd. The amount that I have here, I think, is also in the vicinity of $460 million. I must just take it out of my thing, which we paid FDA. Not Bytes, not the other companies, FDA per se. I said that's direct payments, yes. Those are not payments via CETA. Those are direct payments, sir. Those are not payments over the years. This is from the first payment to the last payment. I'll just leave it here, but I have it here. But it's not, if you talk FDA, it's not $5 billion. You're quite correct, sir. Maybe if you add certain of subsidiaries and those kind of things, I'm referring to you a legal personality, yeah, in terms of the company.
Well, can I just clarify this, Chairperson? Sorry, I posed the question. So let's look at the direct payments that you've now clarified. What were the indirect payments? Because you now indicated there could have been some payments through CETA and other avenues. Could you give us an indication what your view is, even though perhaps it didn't directly go through your department?
So I haven't seen the calculation from what IPED said, but I assume it's a combination of aspects. It might be SAPS and maybe CETA, and there might even be others which are sort of keeping related. I haven't seen specifically, so I cannot comment on their figure. But let's say we add another number of there. I don't see you can get to 5. That would be okay. Just based on but as I've said, we will have to do a calculation. Secondly, I did speak to Skalk. Skalk phoned me, Mr. Iman phoned me, based on the fact also that we have to conclude on the service level agreements, in the sense that I think CETA also spoke to Mr. Iman. That was the first one. The second one, I also just raised the point that we would like to conclude also on the sales thing about CETA network assets, which has not been discussed today, the verification project and on whose balance sheet or asset register it should resort at the end of the day. We did not, so I must be honest with you, discuss specifically the risk per se of FDA and related contracts in this regard. It was a cash flow, quick cash flow discussion, and then I just also indicated to him the whole CETA network assets, or let's call it network assets environment, what we can do about that in this regard. So it was a telephonic discussion.
Yes. I would be very interesting to hear what his recommendation was in terms of the cash flow risk, and what did he recommend, or did you make a recommendation?
He just merely asked, if I remember correctly, it was basically in the sense that when will the SLAS be concluded, when will you pay, start paying based on the new SLAS, CETA in terms and therefore enhance their cash scenario, sir. So it was a SLA issue in this regard. Thank you.
All right. Thank you very much, Comrade Kikan.
No, thanks, Chair. I've got only one question, but let me start with my observation. And maybe the National Commissioner will also have to assist here. That what happens after our meeting? Do you people meet and develop a project plan on the issues that we have discussed? Or you simply go back to your offices, and when you receive another invite that is to come here, you immediately convene a meeting? Because listening to you, most of the meetings that you had them this week. And that clearly gives me an impression that there was no discussion that is prior, that is to us inviting you to come back to us here. And hence, that is all the issues that we are raising. Because if you look at the issues that we raised in the previous meeting, they are very clear. And if you met, you would have been in the position, that is, to give us responses long before, that is, us inviting you here. I just want to get clarity on that part. And the second one would then go to IPIT.
Yeah, thanks, Honorable Chair and Honorable Member. I think I want to give a balanced response. One, from here, with all the committees, including our Portfolio Committee on Police, have issued an instruction. When we move from here, we conduct a post-mortem meeting into what has happened here. And I give clear directives. Let's have a structured action plan to respond, to generate all the responses. That instruction is central in the organization on all matters. An instruction pertaining to this one, I gave it in the same way. Where I want to be honest, myself as a national commissioner, I had very little time to be part of the interactions. That's because of other developments which are actually in the organization, and I'm sure honorable members would understand that part. Me, myself, because as they start these project plans, there's also time frames on which they must give me feedback. And before we come here, if we get an invitation, we only go on a final state of readiness meeting to check whether everything is in order. That's how I want to respond to the question. Thank you.
Okay, thanks for that. At least it gives me some comfort. But from what I've been observing here, unfortunately it's different from what you say. But let's agree that is the procedure going forward. My second question would be on IPED. The last time we met here, you guys promised us that you are going to lay charges against Ukip. My question is, what is the progress?
Thanks, Honorable Chairperson. The investigation is driven by the Serious Commercial Crimes Unit. A lot of progress is made. Tomorrow, a team of ours is leaving to Namibia to pick up documents in terms of agreements via Interpol, which shows the money trail. So it's quite far advanced. We should not be surprised even at the smaller investigation of the vehicles where Patlani is an accused, that Keith Keating cannot be added as a accused very soon, very shortly. So that's how far advanced it is. One also needs to just, on another level, that this issue of FTA is much bigger than FTA. There's a whole range and complex network matrix of companies affiliated to FTA that are involved in this. So this is quite disingenuous to hear that the money paid directly is 400 and whatever million. I mean, General Shezi alone mentioned figures of 1.2 billion already. So we know there's a range of companies. We have their names. It will take quite a lot to go into investigation on them. But our figure is a correct figure. There must be no doubt in them. People mustn't clutch at straws and say directly paid or not. I mean, General Sithole knows, we inspected a place where they've dumped some of this equipment at the Silverton logistics yard. Just in that area alone, which I showed General Sithole, myself, and Mr. Kuba, which we showed General Somani was there, which we showed General Vuma, they were there. It's 317 million worth of stuff just there that was dumped. So this issue of playing with this nice figure of 400 and something million is to con us and to mislead us. Sorry, my apologies. It's 378 million rand worth of stuff which was dumped. So that alone is very close to that 400 million figure, just that on its own. So they must not come and be disingenuous and emphasize, and when an opportunity is given and say, yeah, no, directly paid this and that. We know the companies, the network of companies, there's cops on the payroll of Keith Keating, INSEPs. It has been run, and that is why the resistance against us is so powerful. That's why they had to get a whole unit of 20 investigators from Northwest to counter IPED. There's big money involved there. There are big companies involved, and there are important names behind it. That's why they want to come for us. And the level of resistance, forcing people to pay money when they know they've been already exposed as that there's corruption in this matter. Every modus operandi create a demand, an emergency, and then the stuff gets dumped, almost 400 million worth of it. That is the way they work, and that is why the guy can have the temerity to come and sit here in the SCOPA meeting and stare at policemen who are giving answers. We need to dig deeper. The way the pressure was put to pay this money, even though SCOPA had indicated no further money must be paid, that for us is a signal where we must look, because it's rotten to the core.
Right.
Honorable members, our mandate is about corruption. So we send a guy for 2 years to jail for taking 200 rand on the side of the road. And the big wigs are taking hundreds of millions. They have houses built, they receive cars, they have foreign trips. They can even give to their family cars. And we've just started. We've just started. This investigation is going to grow and grow and grow and grow. How can we balance the two issues? How can if you have generals eating from a corrupt company, how can you expect the lower levels to start towing the line and working hard and being committed? You demoralize the whole service by the corruption right at the top.
Okay, all right. Okay, now that's fine. Yeah, okay.
Now, the last one is directed to CETA in terms of your financial systems. Earlier on, when Vincent asked you about the payment, you referred that to the CFO. Is the CFO delegated that is to do that in terms of your delegation of authority? Because where I'm sitting is obviously the CFO will have to get, I mean, there should be concurrence between the CFO and you as the accounting officer. Now, clarity that I need is, what was your role in the whole thing in terms of your financial systems?
Okay, sir. First of all, I take responsibility for everything that happened there. I was not passing the buck to the CFO. Second is it was within her delegation to approve those payments. But more certainly, it is not to pass any responsibility to her away from me.
Right. Okay.
It is within her delegation.
Yes.
Oh, okay.
All right. I want us to round off because I'm now going back where I started. Yeah.
Chair, I will be super brief. Commissioner, right in the beginning, we discussed the procurement surrounding the FDA contracts. Okay, well, if you could just make a note of the following. I would like to get detailed information about the procurement of a system called LETS, L-E-T-S. I'd like to get detailed information about a system called EMS. Then detailed information about a system called PCEM, that's 1.1, all the versions of it, and then finally FPS. Commissioner, when I say detailed, I need to know the dates. I need to know if it was advertised or not, if it was sole supplier. Well, I can save you time. There's no advertising. It's all sole supplier. Okay? I need to know the reasons why it was sole supplier, compelling reasons why it was sole supplier, and what amount has been spent in terms of those contracts from the time they started until now. Specifically, how many extensions were granted, evergreen extensions that were granted legitimately. In short, Commissioner, everything about those contracts. Absolutely everything. Because the importance, Commissioner, is that they were all awarded to a sole supplier. Now, you know as well as I do, when you go sole supplier, you have to have very good reasons for that. Otherwise, it lends credence to everything that General McBride is talking about in terms of the fraught state of your service, that it's all set up and organized. And then, Chair, just a final takeaway from today. We have to be incredibly honest with ourselves that whatever has been said about threats or whatever the case may be, that we have a man who can write a letter to the National Commissioner who has already said that no payments are being made to you. And the end result of that letter written to the National Commissioner is that pressure is then put on CETA to pay the said man. And that the threat involved is that I will turn off IT systems that the SAPs need to. That, Chair, is capture of the security cluster. That is capture, when somebody pulls your strings. And, Chair, we must resist and be very, very careful. As the General has said, General McBride, has said, when there are people that are committed to fighting that, they get attacked. And stories get made up about them. That whole row of IPED at the back that are assisting us, matter, are all suspended recently. because people who they were attacking defended against them. Let's be very, very careful that we have a department that is an entity that is trying to fix up its act, that we don't listen to people who come with rumors to try and stop investigations and to try and block investigations. Let's stick with the course and let's end this capture that has happened in your entity and in your department. We should all be absolutely shocked and astounded at what happened today. And it's got to stop. And I just want to wish all strength to all those involved on your side of things that are investigating this and getting to the bigger. And from my part, I will do everything I can to support you. Thank you, Chair.
Thank you very much. Comrade Boy? Yeah. I'll come to you.
Commissioner, I came to Parliament in 1994. The first legislation I did was about the police. Skelter was in the institution, and quite a number of them. The environment that is being mentioned by IPED, the police have reported it. I'm not telling you about people outside. People are active in the forensic, in the Western Cape. They have had 2 to 3 accidents happening directly to them after we have started to listen to Tim and started to tell them to tell us the truth. What my pride is telling you is the truth. The equipment that we're talking about is dumped in the police stations here. It's not working. Honorable Chair, that the board chairperson seems to be having problems. He's busy dancing there.
No, continue.
Okay.
Continue.
So there's truth. The only thing I can't find out with you is honesty. I don't know how long you think we should last with you. You're not being honest to us. And we told you the day one that be honest. And in your interview in the Sunday Times, you said you're listening to your wife. Maybe we should get her to come and ask and listen to the questions and maybe give you instruction what to do. Because the people that surround you seems not to be able to make sense. They are going to Namibia, and the fiscals of our country was messed up in Namibia. And you have not done anything. You have not done anything, Commissioner. You haven't done anything since the day we left you to investigate all the allegations that are being made. And you don't have answers for us. And we are trying to reread to you the PFMA. Because we seem not to be able to apply your mind as an accounting officer. You can bring 20 of them. It's wasteful expenditure. They are not able to tell us anything unless you tell us the truth. And if you don't tell us the truth, Commissioner, between us and you, we are bringing Parliament into disrepute. And we have to be fired. Do we say that in the next coming round, you will be prepared to resign in 14 days if you don't deliver? I'm not asking anybody. I'm asking you, are you prepared to resign? Because you promised IP, you promised all of us. You're becoming Mr. Promise. Now I'm asking you, are you prepared to resign?
All right, let's do this. No. I want to check if you have any other question. This time I want you to...
No, I'm finished.
You're finished. Oh, okay.
I just wanted him to tell me, will he be prepared to resign?
No, that's fine. Yes.
Let me hear it from him.
National Commissioner.
If the committee calls me to and I fail to fulfill my responsibilities because I do not want to stay if I can't fulfill the task, it would mean I'm misleading the state. But
All right, Comrade Kekane, Comrade Shilwane. No. Lengwa. You want to have the last dance? Sure, all right. Okay, Comrade Kekane.
Thank you, Chair. No, Chair, this is directed to National Treasury. I think National Treasury is here. They are supposed to be in the
country. Oh, okay. Hey, Mateul. Oh, all right.
I would request them to provide us with information, the reasons for the deviation on the FTA that is contract. Because in the presentation of the subs, what page is this? Page 6, I think. The last bullet. It says the deviation was reported to National Treasury, who found the reasons provided acceptable and within the requirements of the Treasury regulations, and as a number. Now, listening to the discussion here, I don't think we are in agreement with that. Hence, would be interested to know that is the reasons that were advanced to you that made you to make that decision. Thank you.
But, Comrade Kekan, maybe if you look at the bullet point just above what you read, and which general, unfortunately, I think creates a bit of a problem for me in terms of the presentation of the SAPN, because there they say FDA indicated that they hold the source codes and intellectual property, this, that. So FDA told them, we are the sole supplier. And then they wrote to National Treasury and said, no, FDA is the sole supplier. In terms of this English, I used to teach English, so I'm not unfamiliar with the language. This sentence, it gives that impression. It's a very, very poor presentation. If it was an individual, I would say this is foolish or arrogant. Because to tell us that FDA told you that they are a sole provider and then that becomes a basis, it's very clumsy. It's a very clumsy way of putting it, because it merely raises questions. But maybe people are being honest and must accept that they are honest. So I don't know whether you still would want National Treasury to check.
In actual fact, I read that part. That is why I went down, I looked at the deviation, I said, but these people, obviously they consulted National Treasury. One is interested, that is to know the reasons.
Okay.
Because to me, I don't think that makes sense.
All right. No, that's fine. Mateo. Yeah. Many success. Comrade Chilwan.
Chairperson, on that very note, I want to come on another angle. It's not a takeaway. It's an eat-in. The FDA, Chairperson, it's a soul of discussion here. I want to know the members of the BAC, people who sit down and agree that the contractors have met the requirements, then you give them this tender without following all these processes. Can General Mokoena brief us so that we understand it? Who sits in the BAC? Where are the minutes of that meeting where they were sitting? You must just give us the outline on that note, Chief.
All right.
With addition BEC and BAC, but actually I wanted the BAC, Adjudication Committee.
All right. I must listen.
Can I respond?
Yeah.
Thank you, Honorable Chair, and thank you, Honorable Ms. Chilwane. I am the chairperson of the bid adjudication committee for the South African Police Service. As that the chairing this committee immediately after my appointment, that would be first week of March 2016, year before last. Now, it is true that we approve at the submission by the end user to the effect that this is a sole supplier based on the following reasons. Already a contract exists, of which I think the chair and the honorable members should note. The service provider was not put in place by the South African Police Service. It was put in place by CETA, of course, in consultation with the South African Police Service. But what is important in this case is to note that the end user in this case would be the appropriate person to liaise with the service provider, in this case, is CETA. And CETA, in turn, will appoint the service provider who happens to be FDA in this case. Now, the submission, which the BAC sometimes questioned, is that when the contract was not put in place by the department itself, why should we now proceed with the approval of a sole supplier based on the maintenance? Because what is being said to the BAC now as the independent body, which has a final say on award and not of award of contracts, or referring them back to the BEC, is this. A contract is in place, it's running, the PCAM, you call them, you name them. But the submission is that the contract is for maintenance now. Now, the same reason it's given to us, if you don't approve the maintenance of this contract, the service collapses.
Given by who?
In this case, it will be the person who representing the end user in this case. So, again, yeah, not the CETA in this case. It would be within the South African Police Forensic Services. Now, I'm on record to say, but this is unfair because you're putting a gun on me to say if you don't approve 1, 2, 3, the whole system will collapse. In this case, I have no option because it's been said the whole collapse will be placed again on your shoulder.
Oh, just like it was said to sit. All right, no, that's fine. Sengwa?
Chair, thanks. No, I think, like I said, I doubt I'm ever wrong, and I think, well, the taste of the pudding is in the eating, and there you have it now. Chair, there's something which is bothering me, and I think the CFO of CETA must allay my concerns in this regard. What would have been the consequences for CETA, besides the overarching threat, of course, that should have collapsed the system. What other threats were before you as an entity, which formed the basket of your pay? And if there are none, you can just clarify me. But I'm interested to know, were there other factors that you considered besides collapsing the system? And if there are, what were those?
Okay. Thank you very much. I think the question was asked how much of the income of CETA comes from sales. It's about a third of it. So when we say that CETA had cash flow problems, it just does not, it's not about SEPS systems alone. It's the entire IT system of government. When we are now have to prioritize whether we pay staff members or we pay general suppliers of services to CETA. It means that we are affecting, in fact, the entire government IT system. That's a big consideration, to the extent that we felt that it's not just about paying FDA on the back of forensic systems. It's about our entire relationship with SAPS, which then talks to the survivability of CETA in the very short term. That was a core concern, and we put it in our presentation as well.
Okay. So, Chet, this was in part to rescue yourselves as well.
So us means the entire fabric of operation of the state system.
And this payment was going to unlock
that. The stabilizing our relationship with SAPS. So when we are owed R1 billion, the payments came in. The first payment, I mean, it was about 1 million or so, I think General Skeeter talks about it. It's nothing compared to 1 billion rand.
No. Let's bring it home. I got the numbers.
Yeah.
I want to speak to the principal.
Yeah.
So this payment, making it, was going to save you as well.
Save
in
us.
In other areas.
Yes.
So you needed to make this payment for your own.
No. We needed to make sure that we remove the threat on us, on SEPs. Payments to us.
So the threat was twofold.
Exactly, and we put it in our presentation. That's our feeling.
All right, Comrade Chilwane.
Chairperson, my apologies to take you back. General Mokoena, I think for me, he's speaking in parables. I don't know, maybe I'm slow in understanding. Because there's a clear issue here that there's a problem with contract management in the SAPS, Chairperson. It's something that we cannot avoid. I don't want to. I'll really want to understand that because he's a chairperson of the BAC, does he take responsibility or does he want to tell us who is responsible? Because so many things have gone wrong, chairperson. So many things have gone wrong. It's like somebody is holding a gun on an official who's having a check that you either you sign this check or you don't sign this check. If you don't sign it, I kill you. If you want to leave, sign this check, give me this work. Chairperson, I think we should get to the bottom of this. General Mokoena, I think he mustn't speak in parables. We want to hear who forced the BAC or who went out of the way of the recommendation of the BAC. Who did that? Tell us. Thank you.
Thanks, Honorable Chair, and thanks, Ms. Honorable Chilwane. The end user in this case would be Forensic Science Laboratory. Now, like I said, Honorable Member, the main contract, the fundamental contract, is put in place by another agency, which happens to be CETA. And this dates back years ago. Now, I think it dates back 2010 and above. Now, this thing has been going on. It's a vehicle on motion. You know, it's moving. Now comes the time of maintenance. My understanding is that every contract comes with a warranty or guarantee. Now, under the general conditions of contract, normally a warranty or guarantee is 12 months, depending on the nature of, depending on the nature of a product. Once that guarantee expires, now the user, which is Forensic Science Laboratory in this case, must maintain that service or that equipment. Now, you need a contract now because the maintenance, the warranty or guarantee has lapsed. Now you need continuity for the service and you must maintain. Now the submission is made now to the BAC within the department, of which I am a chair. Now, the submission comes as a sole supplier because the reasons that the end user will advance in this case is that BMW, I'm giving an example. We bought this BMW, and the only person who can maintain this vehicle is a BMW. And on that basis, is that they have the know-how, they are the system developers, they are the only people, and they have a soul. If you look at our slide, they tell you if they are the only agent who have the license to do that. Now, as a BAC, because you want the system of policing to continue, actually you have no option now. You have no option. On the other hand, when you say you go out on bid, I'll give an example, the system will collapse. And these are the sole supplier. You don't have a chance to reason otherwise but to say approve. But we did as a BAC previously to say, but this was not a departmental contract. It's a contract which is outside the department. It should be the responsibility of CETA and the end user to say, please, to put in place the maintenance contract. Okay. I don't know if I have answered.
Yeah, correct. No, I hear you. And Comrade Vincent?
Chair, I'm suggesting, look, I think what we need to do, Chair, and close this matter. I'd asked earlier on, what is CETA's role in this whole thing? And I think what we should be saying to CETA is that you must acquire these skills and make this, and you must insource this thing. And that you can't get a budget from government going forward unless you've got a plan as to how you're going to insource it, because we give you the money. And I think that's how we should do it, Chair, and go and lobby everybody that if CETA can't do this exercise, then it doesn't deserve to be part of government. That's where we should leave it. And your job is on the line unless you can insource the service.
Can we move forward? Yes, Pratim, you were going to have the last dance.
It's a very quick last dance. Thanks, Chair. Chair, General McQuaid makes a whole long story about that. And everything, if you accept your starting point, General, it all works. My problem is the starting point. Is why right at the beginning was only one person allowed to get involved in the matter. Everything afterwards, you're 100% correct. If you start with BMW, you must use a BMW agent. I agree with that. But why BMW in the first place? That's the question. Okay? I need to now, I asked the commissioner to supply us information on all those IT systems. If I can just extend that to CETA as well. Just so we can get past the issue of just FDA directly. So we want, because you're right, there's Kojima and da-da-da-da, Unisys, and all linked to Keith Keating, all linked to the network. So everybody involved in all those systems for our next meeting, please. And then we will see, Chair, as a committee, how big this thing is. And it's much, much bigger than just the R1 billion or so spent on forensic equipment and the very expensive torches. This thing is, then we'll start getting to the figures that you deny, sir. That you say I'm not involved in you. Okay.
All right.
Thank you, Chair.
Okay, sure. Comrades, I want us to bring this engagement to a close. Safe to say that, Commissioner, I think we did in passing last time raised a few issues, or an issue around the need to really transform the SAPS to ensure that the normal structures function as normally as possible. You don't have warlords who have captured territories within the system and are able to do as they please. That is a shadowy organization within the organization that determines what should happen. I want to repeat that. And the most glaring case is the case of your CFO, which we raised last time. You see, when you're talking about the meeting between your colleagues and CETA and said, well, what did not happen was there was no discussion between you and the CEO as accounting officer to another accounting officer. I was saying to myself, but maybe what should be stranger to you first is that your officials went to that meeting and did not report to you and did not carry your mandate. That should be the first point. Before you can look at the CFO on the other side, your people. This is about money. Where was the CFO in that meeting? Why was it General Skete? Where was the CFO? Now, this arrangement, I want to hear it from you, Andre. This arrangement that you're having, where General Skete is the CFO and everything else, and the CFO is something else, is that legal? Is that within the correct organogram of the SAPS? I want a yes or no.
Yeah, Chair. There's a substructure which goes according to the command. According to the substructure, there's a deputy national commissioner. And then, apart from the deputy national commissioner, then there's a CFO.
Apart or below?
The CFO reports directly to the national commissioner, who's the accounting officer. And the, in terms of the act.
But in terms of the practice within SAPS, what was the arrangement?
Yeah, the honorable member said, I must be honest. When I came in, the arrangement was not directly like that. The arrangement, the CFO was more reporting via the Deputy National Commissioner. After my appearance here, I corrected it. I said the CFO reports directly to me. The Deputy National Commissioner deal with functions that are in his performance agreement.
So that was not legal, that arrangement?
Not compliant with the Act.
Yeah,
the Public
well,
Finance
of course, if you're not compliant, you're illegal. Don't talk like that this side.
I confirm.
You're supposed to be a policeman from a security background. You're supposed to be very direct and not meander. Like maybe you're a political commissar. You're supposed to be. I'm saying, and that was illegal.
Yes, it was not illegal.
It was not illegal?
Yes.
You see. So, now you have changed it.
I issued an instruction exactly in terms of the Act, the Public Finance Management Act, that the CFO reports directly to the National Commissioner. And since then, he is.
Now let's correct that. I can see today his body language is much better than last time. We need to correct this because now the question becomes: how many other shadowy little groupings are there? Because if you had illegal arrangements right at the national level, then you can ask in the provinces, the provincial commissioners. The what at whatever level, how many little, if it was in a political party, we'll say factions, how many little factions do you know, and how do they impact on your lawful operations, how things are done, to Steve Kabaus? It's very important because that is going to determine whether you succeed or you don't succeed. The theory that he always advances is that whoever is the national commissioner, and has come there with one eye closed, have always gone down if they don't comply to the expectations of the cabal. So So you are also either going to kowtow or you are going to break that cycle and ensure that there is uprightness in the way the SAPS operate. And you can hear the responses from your officials. No, we can hear when, you know, we sit here many times, so we can tell when an official is obfuscating. When the official is trying to be economical with the facts, not with the truth, with the facts. No, we can tell, we can hear when a person can tell you so and so and so and so in their responses. I was like, they're not taking us serious. So we know, we understand. So we would want you to... Now, I just want to say, comrades, on the FDA contract, I think, let's emphasize what Comrade Vincent said, you know, because I see a bit of a challenge. CETA went to their legal counsel, and their legal counsel said, pay. You see. But verify whether they're doing their work. I think he was not actually assisting us because the issue should be around the legality of the contract, because that is what determines whether you pay or not. So I thought that's where you're going to stick and say, no, our counsel say, well, we have a binding contract. That's why we must continue to pay. Or whatever. So I think we'd want to, because last time you said we were consulting, we want to get the outcome of that consultation. Send it to us and with an interpretation or an addendum that says, we've received this, our reading of this advice is it says 1, 2, 3, 4. And then we can be on the same page. But I think our position last time was based on the fact that almost emphatically from your side was an acceptance that the relationship between the FDA and the SAPS and within CETA itself has not been a straightforward one, and that even this contract, from where you are standing, you are not convinced that it was done legally. And so I said, well, if it's illegal, then why continue paying? You know, why continue paying if you're convinced that this thing is illegal? So it must not be as if we are arbitrary as members of parliament. We are not. And certainly wouldn't want to give illegal instructions. But we will not waver in instances where evidence presented before us suggests that the process was not properly followed. We won't. We wouldn't. So we are not taking a step back. We are where we are. But we are merely saying we want that information within the next 2 weeks, Ben? Yeah, within the next 2 weeks. We need to get that information so that we are clear about... And, General, Commissioner, I think this issue about FDA being able to switch off the system, I think you need to come back to us with some level of explanation, so that we have an understanding, because it is quite scary. It is quite scary that you have one service provider who can then determine the fate of everybody. For a national department to be so dependent on just a single individual, I think if you have a risk committee, they should have raised this issue that, no, this arrangement is a risk. So no, it cannot be. We need to have a situation where, as a department, you cannot be held at ransom by a single individual. I think this is just it is just not on. And then there are the requests that Bratim has requested. Let's have all of that information. We said last time that with you, it is not going to be a war of quick decision. It's going to be a war of attrition against all of those who are doing wrong things. we know this. When we had the SABC, you know, we had officials who were looking at us with contempt in the beginning because they also had a cabal of senior managers who were doing this. But I'm sure you can appreciate where we are now, unless, of course, we start to have accidents in this particular instance. But the determination on our side to right what is wrong is there. So I just want to... So let's get those contracts, because then it means the engagement will be continuous. And may I just add, because I've just received a note that you have purchased from an Indian company called MKU, lightweight bulletproofs that were not taken through tender. And so far, I think is it 6.7 million, and there's an order now for about 33 million. Just have a look at that and add it to the information that will come. And that will form the basis of our rolling mass action with you until victory. Lastly, IPID. I'm sure comrades, you've seen in your packs the letters we requested about the Marikana funding. Because you had raised this with us last week and you said, send us those letters. We've seen them, I've gone through them. Well, I don't know how we'll deal with this, but yeah, I think it is something that does need, because the president has made a commitment that that is a wound that needs to be closed, and part of that closure is these processes that must actually assist us to understand first, must understand first what happened, and then be able to. So I think it is something that. Well, I've heard you direct McBride around Patlan, because I was actually astounded. If you allege that the former acting national commissioner, if you allege that Mr. Keating put money in Namibia and that Namibian man made cars available, but then when you arrest, the source of the money is not arrayed. I think it created a hazard in my head because it didn't make sense. Actually, Durand might actually be a witness, not an accused at best, no, at worst. So, well, we'll be looking to see. But we have said to your colleagues last week that if we say there were transactions that were done and contracts that were given and all that kind of stuff, surely it can't be the former National Acting Commissioner who alone signed everything. There are a number of people through whom these things were processed who are accomplices. Accomplices. We can't say they didn't know, because for those things to have been processed, they were processed in a way that was inconsistent with normal practice. So where are they in the picture, so that we want you to deal with any form of corruption in the SAPS impartially, fully, and totally. It must not be, and I'm sure they told you I raised, or we gave them an opportunity to clarify these perceptions about your relationship with O'Sullivan. That as Parliament, we wouldn't want to have an institution that we're just getting out of the Guptas. We don't want another capture by Paul O'Sullivan or Keating or whoever. We want institutions that are independent, that are able to function. If you have problems, here is Parliament to say, we have a problem here, how do you assist us? So I think that should be it. Comrades, thanks very much.